Today is the first day of the Holy Triduum, the day of our Lord's, the day before our Lord's death and his burial. Tonight is the celebration of the Last Supper and the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the Sacrament of Holy Orders. When I was in the seminary, Holy Thursday was treated like a great feast day. We had a festival meal for dinner and celebrated the day of the institution of the Holy Priesthood. When I first saw that, I was a little bit surprised because we consider Lent a time of penance, and it is. And our Lord is so close to the end of his life today. But when I thought about it more, I understood better the reason for it. We have a lot to be grateful for on this day, especially priests and those who are studying to be priests, even though it is also a very sorrowful occasion. Today is when our Lord instituted the Holy Eucharist, the greatest gift that he could possibly give us, and that at least should fill our hearts with joy. And then to preserve and perpetuate the Holy Eucharist, he instituted a priesthood to continue to consecrate his body and blood until the end of time. Our Lord had prepared for this moment for a very long time. It was a preparation that was proportionate to the greatness of the occasion. He was born in a town called the House of Bread. And his first action in this world was to lie in a manger or a feed box for animals, as though he were food. And of course, he is food. He is the food of our souls. And during his life, he promised more than once that he would give himself as our food to eat, and he confirmed this with an oath. And then when the time came for our Lord to fulfill this promise, he chose the time and the place down to its most minute details. For the place in which he would give us this great gift, he chose Jerusalem, the city of the temple, the city of sacrifice. And for the time, he chose the last hour of his life that he would have control over before he would be arrested and put to death. And this was fitting because the Holy Eucharist is his last will and testament. It is his going away present to us, to leave us his sacramental presence in the Blessed Sacrament. We can see him on the way from Bethany to the cenacle in Jerusalem, trying to get there as quickly as possible, impatient to give us himself. And then he sits down with the apostles, and he took bread in his hands and a cup of wine, and for the first time he uttered those powerful words, "Take ye and eat, for this is my body. Drink ye all of this, this is my blood." And he gave these beautiful, simple words the power that God used when he said, "Let there be light." And it is just as amazing and glorious and powerful to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ as it is to create the whole world out of nothing. And our Lord didn't just say these words himself. He gave to his apostles the power to do the same thing, to work the same incredible miracle with the same short, simple words. He said, "Do this in commemoration of me." And because God doesn't command us to do something that is impossible, we know that at the same time that he gave them that command, he also gave them the ability to carry it out. Our Lord knows that he's going to die the next day, that he will leave behind his little family of apostles and followers. Like any good father, he left them his possessions in his last moments on earth. He didn't leave them money or lands or houses. He didn't have any of these anyway. He himself said that he had nowhere to lay his head. And people who want to follow our Lord, if they expect him to make them rich, they will be disappointed. If the followers of our Lord inherited great fortunes, then everybody would be a follower of his. But no, when our Lord died, all he had in the world was a cross and three nails and a crown of thorns. He didn't even have his outer garments. The Roman soldiers had already taken those from him. But what he did have, he left to us. And it was something more precious than we could even understand. He left us himself under the appearances of bread and wine to be the property of his holy church and of mankind until the end of time. His love invented this method by which he could stay and be close to us. No matter where we are in the world or in what age we might live. And that is that we would be able to take the most common elements that mankind possesses, bread and wine, and change them into his body and blood so that we could always keep him near us. Our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament is truly our inheritance that he gave us before his death. He wants to give himself to everybody, to make himself available to everybody that might have need of him, which is, of course, all of us. But unfortunately, many people don't want this great gift of himself that he has given us. They don't care about his presence on our altars, and they don't worship him in church. Or there are other people who do want to receive him in Holy Communion, but they don't want to make themselves worthy to receive him by following his commandments. So in effect, they really don't want our Lord's great gift that he offers to them either. Worse still, there are even people who receive our Lord in Holy Communion who are in the state of mortal sin. And instead of being united to him in love, they desecrate his body and blood in the most terrible way possible. An unworthy communion is one of the most terrible sins that we can commit because it is a personal desecration of the body of our Lord himself. St. Paul speaks about that in the epistle today, and the church warns all of us about this on Holy Thursday every year, that if we receive our Lord in serious sin, we are eating and drinking our own condemnation, so that our guilt becomes almost like part of our bodies. It is ingested into us, and our whole person becomes hateful to God. But the Holy Eucharist truly is a work of the love of God. It's a beautiful mystery that even the holy angels themselves could never have foreseen or thought of. Theologians teach that it's the center of all of the other sacraments. It's like the hub of a wheel, and the other sacraments are like the spokes of a wheel that are all pointing towards the middle. Each sacrament in a different way prepares us to receive the Holy Eucharist better. Our Lord must have died happy that he had provided this nourishment for the souls of us, his children. A father in this world will die happy if he knows that he has provided enough sustenance for his children to live on, so that they will always have enough food to eat. And that's exactly what our Lord did for our souls, for us. The Holy Eucharist is the marvelous food of our souls. In any hunger or weakness that we have, we can always turn to him in the Holy Eucharist and strengthen ourselves with his body and blood. And he will sustain us, just as physical food sustains our bodies and keeps us in health. As I said, our Lord also instituted the sacrament of holy orders to perpetuate an order of men who would take care of him in his sacramental presence here on earth and distribute him to the rest of his children. Priests are like the executors of his will, who take the inheritance that he left to his church and who distribute it to the heirs. And they are supposed to be generous with the Holy Eucharist. Our Lord wants people to receive him He wants as many as possible to receive him in Holy Communion and as often as possible. We can imagine that our Lord, when he instituted this sacrament, he made a mental note of how many sacred hosts each one of us would need in order to receive Holy Communion every single day of our lives. And we should make sure not to miss out on any one of these sacred communions that we can have. We should not miss out on any one of these blessed unions between our souls and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we should come to receive our Lord as often as we can. And it's not just enough to receive communion often, but we should also do it with as much love and reverence as we can every time, not just out of routine. We should make a good preparation and a good thanksgiving every time we receive Holy Communion, because we will only be able to receive Holy Communion a limited number of times in our lives, which is a number known only to God, but we want every single one to count. And just think what a wonderful thing it is to be one of those people whose occupation and great privilege it is not only to distribute the Holy Eucharist, but actually to consecrate these sacred hosts, to bring our Lord down again onto this earth, to change a tiny piece of bread and an ounce or two of wine into God himself. It is the most glorious thing that anyone can possibly do, even though it's so far beyond what any human being could possibly ever be worthy to do. Any priest who thinks about what he is just overwhelmed with joy and gratitude to God for having called him to this holy state. I think at the same time, every priest feels constantly his own unworthiness and a desire to make himself more worthy for his vocation by the grace of God. But he has sacramental graces from the character of holy orders in his soul to help him in his vocation, and every priest should have a great confidence in the mercy of God whom he serves. Today we should pray for all priests everywhere, because today is a time of graces for priests too, as they commemorate the institution of the sacrament that they have. And it's also a time for people, especially young men, to think about the priesthood too. It's true that not all boys are called to this holy vocation. Most are not. But it's also true that a lot of boys who are called by God are afraid of the sacrifices that it entails. But that thought should not keep any good boy or young man away from pursuing a vocation if he feels called to it. Yes, it does involve sacrifice, but what sacrifice could possibly be too great for such a holy vocation as this? Ask any good priest and he will tell you that it is well worth it. It is well worth whatever he has given up to have the privilege of being the special friend of our Lord and to have the power to bring him down onto the altar and offer him an atonement for the sins of the whole human race. Let us always be grateful for the gift that our Lord has given us this evening so long ago. When we give someone a gift, especially something really big, we expect their gratitude, and it hurts us a lot if the person doesn't say thank you. Let us always consider that having our Lord present with us in the Holy Eucharist is our greatest possession. Our Lord was thinking about each one of us at the Last Supper. He wanted to be on earth in his sacramental presence on the altar during our lifetime, so that we could come and pray to him in church and feel close to him. Let us not disappoint him, but rather let us always love and cherish him in the Blessed Sacrament, as he does with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.